This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye. And welcome
to my favorite murder,
the mini-sode.
It's mini and cute.
It's so pocket-sized. You wouldn't believe how transportable it is.
Tiny.
Is that a real word?
Transportable?
Is it transportable?
Okay, this is where we redo your stuff. Do you want to go first, Karen?
Sure. The subject line of this first one is the Cowie Tunnel Disaster. Hey, y'all. I'm going to go to school in the Great Smoky Mountains at West Carolina University. There are hundreds of ghost stories due to our rich Appalachian history, but the Cowie Tunnel disaster is one of the most notable in our area and is shared often throughout our student body. I was going to do this when we were in North Carolina. I think this was one of the stories that came up for the area.
Yeah.
And it's rough. In 1883, a group of prisoners set out on the Tuckasegee River to begin their day's work, which was often in grueling conditions. It's not mentioned here, but just for everyone's information, it's 19 prisoners. All of them were black. It was common in this time to lay miles and miles of railroad track through the treacherous mountains of western North Carolina as punishment for their crimes. 30 men stayed chained together day and night, working, eating, and sleeping with shackles on their ankles. On the morning of December 30th, icy slush had accumulated in the bottom of the men's boat that was used to get across the river to the work site, but the guards forced them forward anyway. However, everyone on board quickly began to panic as the slush melted and sloshed around, forcing the men to one side of the boat. Only 10 feet from the riverbank, the boat capsized and the first man went overboard. But because they were shackled together, 19 men were pulled into the water one by one after the man who went before him. None stood a chance against the raging icy waters, and 19 men perished. Mm. The Great Smoky Mountain Railroad now runs from Dillsboro, North Carolina to Bryson City, North Carolina, and goes through the Cowie Tunnel where the men had been laying down track. Tourists often take the train as a sightseeing trip when visiting the area. When going through the infamous Cowie Tunnel, the conductors say, "Ladies and gentlemen, there are 19 prisoners buried on top of this tunnel, and the moisture you see coming down the walls are the tears of those poor men." SSDGM, and you bet your ass that tunnel is haunted as fuck, Kendall. So I remembered this story, and I went and read an article really quick to double check from what I remembered, and because this detail that Kendall may not have known this. And so this is from the Smoky Mountain News. It's an article written by a writer named Garrett Woodward. First of all, one of those inmates who died, one of the 19, was a 15-year-old boy named Charles Eason, who had been sent to jail for stealing something very small. Mm-hmm. He was on a chain gang with grown men. So this is a portion of that article from the Smoky Mountain News. It said, in a February 1963 article by the Asheville Citizen Times, well-known silver writer John Paris spoke of the legendary heroics of convict Anderson Drake, who climbed out of the river only to dive back in and rescue prison guard Fleet Foster. So, quote, "Drake helped Foster up the steep bank, knelt a moment by the gasping guard, and then stood up and turned to look back at the foaming river. There was no sign of the other 19 convicts." They called Drake a hero. They said he would surely go free. But Drake didn't go free. Back in his quarters following the incident, Foster found his wallet and pistol missing. And upon ordering a search of the prison camp, the wallet containing $30 was found in Drake's belongings. That night, instead of thanking Drake and giving him a feast, the camp foreman ordered him into the yard, bared his back, and gave a dose of cat-o'-nine-tails, a multi-tailed whip. Mm. After the lashings, Paris reported that Drake was sentenced to 30 years hard labor and immediately put back to work on the Cowie Tunnel.
Wow.
And I question the idea that that guy who was drowning in a river, right, who saved this guard, then robbed him of his wallet and gun.
Right.
It makes no sense.
And smuggled it back to the prison.
Back into prison, yeah, where he couldn't have spent it.
Right.
So basically, it's like he did this thing and everyone thought, oh,
yeah,
he'll get freed. He'll finally be free. And instead, he went in for 30 more years. Nice. I thought that was an important detail that we should add in, because that was when I was reading this story for one of the live shows.
Yeah.
It was awful. And yeah, it's just like that. And then it's like, and then it's this haunted tunnel where people hear all kinds of horrible sounds and the walls drip with moisture all year long. And, you know, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Ay vey.
Yeah.
This one's called My Great Grandfather's Body Was Stolen from His Grave.
Whoa.
Dear Karen and Georgia, I love you guys and your voices have accompanied me through many hours of various boring jobs, many car rides, and many late night insomnia struggles. They're with you. Thanks for
late.
Yeah. Thanks for everything you do. Anyway, let's jump in. In October 1989, the body of a 22-year-old named Jeffers Kimbrell was found in a field in Columbia County, Florida. He was the victim of a stabbing, but here's the problem. This was the second time his body had been found. He had already been buried, and someone had dug him up and left him in a field.
Oh my God.
Then 2 months later, in December 1989, a 20-year-old named Stephen Morgan took his own life in the same North Florida county. Shortly after he was buried, it was discovered that his body was missing from his grave. Here's where I come in. My great-grandfather died of a heart attack in November 1989 and was buried in neighboring Union County. Several months later, the ground appeared to be caving in around his grave, so county officials obtained an order to exhume his body. You know, just to make sure everything was cool. It was not cool. They soon discovered that his casket was empty and had been broken into and opened in exactly the same way as the two others in Columbia County had been. I found all of this out from an article that I found while doing some genealogy research. That's a fucking big surprise to find, probably.
Just kind of scrolling one night all by yourself.
Yeah. I wasn't born until 1998, so I never knew my great-grandfather. And all my dad said about it when I asked him is that the body was never recovered and the whole thing was very upsetting. But here's the best part. The article that I read says that five men who were, quote, fanatics of the fantasy game Dungeons and Dragons had been arrested in nearby Lake City for body snatching.
No.
As far as I can figure, that's where the trail stops, both in the media and for my family. But being able to say, my great-grandfather's body was stolen from his grave in North Florida, most likely by some guys playing D&D, makes me really fun to have at parties. Stay sexy and find Grandpa Mac's body, Ellie.
What? Okay. That's crazy that it's guys that play Dungeons and Dragons, because most of the people that I know that are super into Dungeons and Dragons are nothing like in a realm of that,
no,
even slightly.
That doesn't add up. I feel like there's more to the story, and I bet someone listening has like the other half of the story.
Please.
And so please.
If you've got the Dungeons and Dragons half of that story, we want to hear it. Put five small alarm emojis up in the subject line and let us know.
For sure.
Okay. I'm not going to read you the subject line of this.
Okay.
Hello, friends. I've been binging the podcast since June. Just caught up. It is June.
Oh.
Wow. June of last year.
It's been a busy month, I think, for you.
Yeah, really. You're both wonderful, and I love knowing that I'm not alone in my obsession with true crime. Quite the opposite. You're nowhere near alone. Okay, enough of that. Let's do this. In the mid-1960s, my Uncle Bob was a paper boy and was out one summer afternoon collecting money from the people on his paper route. He was jumped by some older boys who robbed him, and when he put up a fight, they stabbed him several times. They took off, and my uncle, who had been stabbed in the back and sides, proceeded to walk this 7 blocks to my great-grandparents' house.
Oh, my God.
He stumbled up the front steps, knocked on the door, and my great-grandmother answered, and upon seeing that he was dripping blood, told him, "Walk around the back to the kitchen. I'll never get this carpet clean if you bleed on it."
What of the past? Why is the past so terrible?
It was tough, and people were fucking tough. This poor man had walked several blocks in the summer heat only to be told to walk a little more. My great-grandparents were very old at this point and didn't drive anymore, so they called my grandfather to get Bob and drive him to the hospital. My grandfather got there, put Bob in the back seat, and according to my father and uncle, Grandpa religiously followed all the rules of the road. No speeding, no running traffic lights. They eventually got to the hospital where the doctors told my grandparents that Bob wasn't too far from bleeding out, and they made it just in time. Thank God there wasn't one more red light or Bob would have been done for. Everything turned out okay. Bob made a full recovery. My favorite part of the story, though, is that my dad, who was several years younger than my uncle, was in the front seat while they were taking Bob to the hospital. The family was supposed to leave for vacation the next day, and that obviously wasn't going to happen now. My 6 or 7 year old father turned to Bob in the back seat and started to cry, and then told his brother, who could have died, "You ruin everything." Because they wouldn't be able to go on their trip. Dad and Bob were close once they grew up and died only a couple months apart in 2006. Aww. They're missed, but this story and dozens of others keep them close. Stay sexy, and for God's sake, if someone is bleeding out, don't worry about the damn carpet, Rachel.
That's all. That's just to prove how bad the past was, and that siblings are just, there's no sympathy with siblings.
The damage that siblings do to each other as children should be studied. Perhaps it is.
I know. I have like one friend who's an only child. He's like, "I wish I had siblings all the time." And it's like,
you
psychologically,
fool.
I am fucked. And I love them. And I'm still.
Wow. I love my sister. I still want to sue her every time I see her.
She still owes me for therapy.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, "I want to try that"?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Dive into Hulu's chilling new original series, Under the Bridge.
It's a riveting adaptation of the true crime novel written by acclaimed author Rebecca Godfrey.
Based on shocking real-life events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a 14-year-old girl whose plan to meet up with friends ends in her shocking murder.
When an unlikely group of suspects emerge, a novelist and a detective race to solve the sinister crime.
This spellbinding series goes deep into a hidden subculture, revealing a small town's darkest secrets. Starring Emmy nominee Riley Keough and Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu. Goodbye.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information. But with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
This is called Grandma Ghost, but still lighthearted. Hi, everyone. I love you all. Here we go.
In the world?
Probably.
That's nice. That I think nice. That's good. That's nice.
I don't remember this, but my mom has told me the story many, many times. And this sounds like a story that I swear like every mom probably has. When I was around 4 years old, I was swinging on a rickety swing set in our backyard while my mother watched me from the kitchen window. I was kicking my little legs and getting some air, but at the top of the arc, I leaned back too far and my hand slipped off the chains. My mother bolted from the kitchen and ran across the yard, expecting the worst. However, when she got near, she saw that I was just standing beside the swing unharmed. This happened in the spring, and there was a mud puddle under the swing set, but I didn't have a drop of water or dirt on me. My mother frantically checked me over and asked me if I was hurt anywhere. "I'm okay," I said. "Loretta caught me." Loretta's the perfect ghost name, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Loretta is the name of my dad's mother, who died of cancer when I was just 6 months old. My mom said I was very calm and matter-of-fact about it and insisted it happened when she asked me again. Nothing like that ever happened again that I remember, so maybe she knew that I only needed her that one time. Or she's been around this whole time, catching me more often than I know. Either way, it's really comforting to me. Thank you for everything you do. Things can feel really dark these days, and your podcast is always something I look forward to. Stay sexy and stay off swings. See. P.S. Georgia, you said that you wanted psychic stories. I went to one while on vacay in Florida, and he told me I'd meet someone in 30 days. Exactly 30 days later, back home in Canada, a guy on the bus asked for my number. We just celebrated 2 years.
No!
Yes.
That's a psychic. Oh, I was. And that's not really a coincidence. That's more of a that's psychic fateful.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Cute, cute, cute.
I love that. Who C is tapped into a different plane.
Yeah.
There's something going on. That may have been the work of Loretta speaking through the psychic. Aww. Again, showing up in her life. Loretta's, I love that so much.
I bet you can't find a not badass Loretta in the fucking world.
For real. Let's bring that name back for people. Enough of the Madisons and the Mackenzies.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. It's fine. It's been done.
Yeah.
You know what that made me think of, too, is one time I was with Nora across the street when she was 2, because she started walking when she was really little. Really? And she used to love to go to the playground that's nearby my sister's house. And we were standing there and she was walking across this funny little kind of bridge. She was like showing me that she could walk across this bridge on the play structure. And as she went to walk, she picked her foot up really high and then just started falling backwards. But I had already gone to the other side of this bridge so that I would be there because I thought she'd be falling forward, if any direction.
Yeah.
And so she was falling backwards off of probably a 5-foot drop. And I moved from one side of that play structure over to where she was I don't know how I did it, but I got over there and caught her by the head and then just tipped her back up. And then she just kept walking. Like, for her, nothing happened.
You just, like, for her, put it was her like back on head. Weird.
Yep. Oh, I just kind of like, God. I caught her and then bounced her back up. And then she just kept going in that toddlery way where, like, it's all kind of random.
Gravity's and magic.
But I honestly, in terms of how many steps it took and how quickly I moved, which I rarely do, it was like, I don't know how I did it. And it still like chills me to this day because it was all on me in that one moment. And then somehow I got there in time. It was crazy.
I have a similar story with my nephew when he was two, but I didn't save him. Some dad who had dad instincts at the bottom of a big kid slide that I guess I didn't know was a big kid slide. What do I fucking know from big and little kid slide?
Sure.
Catches my nephew one-handed as he's like flying off the slide and about, and everyone, all the parents turned and looked at me and I just went, I'm the aunt. And then we fucking laughed. I took off.
That's right. You can never go back there. That's so perfect. That's so perfect.
Yeah, it was.
God bless that.
It was so close.
Well, okay. You know, on the same plane thought pattern. Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you. Of these beautiful and inspiring stories. We've got this one. the drive-by flasher, lighthearted.
Yeah.
Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
Love it.
Well done. It's so catchy. I moved to Cleveland to get my master's in school counseling in 2017, but spent the first 22 years of my life in St. Louis, Missouri, which is filled with a lot of bummer crimes, to say the least. While searching for a lighthearted story to send in, I found an article that was very similar to the shitty papers that I used to write in high school, which were filled with useless adjectives in order to set a minimum word count.
Oh, I've been there.
So really, yep, we've all done it. Once in October 2012, and another time in January 2013, 34-year-old Joseph Huff of St. Louis drove into a Target parking lot, pulled up next to a woman, opened his car door, exposed himself, and then sped away. While the story itself is kind of gross, it's the words used to describe Huff that made it so memorable. The article states, quote, "Now the authorities believe they've found this frequent flasher, this schlong showman, pervy Peter presenter, double drive-by dick dangler." If that isn't quality journalism, I don't know what is. The article continued with, quote, "In case you weren't sure how a female might react to a strange man pulling out his twig and berries in a parking lot, the probable cause statement contains the sentence, quote, both female victims were alarmed by the defendant's conduct." And on the next line of the article, the reporter just wrote, "Well, yes." Huff was eventually caught and charged with two misdemeanor accounts of sexual misconduct. And I hope that reporter got a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. I've been listening to the podcast since the beginning. And although my life has been pretty lonely in the last few years, I've never felt truly alone because I know I can always turn on my favorite murder and have it feel like I'm with my two best friends. Aww. Stay sexy and get a job where you can get paid to call someone a schlong showman, Sabrina.
Great job.
Like five levels to that email.
It was
beautifully
like,
done.
It was a pervert, a hometown flasher, but also about the, it was great.
We had everything.
Okay. This one is called, "Hey buddy, got a light." Hello, Stephen Ray Morris and Associates.
Oh,
inflammatory.
Inflammatory.
I'm firing myself.
Thank you. That's right.
Preemptive firing. Good call, Stephen. Good call.
This is a funny story that doesn't involve a murder, at least as far as I know, but it does have a dead body. This was back in the 50s or 60s. My dad worked at GE in Philadelphia. When he got to work one Monday morning, a coworker came in with his leg in a cast. Of course, my dad being a concerned coworker, or more likely being nosy, my dad asked him what happened. He told my dad that his son, who was an undertaker, asked him to help him transport a body. It involved driving overnight to Western Pennsylvania. The son drove first while his dad slept. At one point, the son pulled over to pick up a hitchhiker because stuff like this was totally normal back then, pre-stranger danger, especially while driving through rural Pennsylvania in the middle of the night. And then it says, eye roll. There was no room up front, but the son told the hitchhiker he could sit in the back with the casket. Later, the dad woke up to drive while his son slept. And then it says, you may see where this is going. Of course, the son failed to mention, all caps, that there was a hitchhiker in the back. And then it says, your dad spent all that money and effort to raise you, and this is how you repay him? Dad is driving. Everything is going normally, considering it's probably 3 a.m. and they haven't seen another car in 100 miles until suddenly Dad gets a tap on the shoulder from the back of the car. Hey, buddy, got a light? You can guess the rest. He drove into a ditch and hence the broken leg. How amazing is that? I love your podcast. So I've always loved true crime and crime fiction even before it was cool. And my murderino daughter introduced me to you all.
Oh,
stay sexy and make sure to let others know when there's a live person sitting in the back of with a corpse so that they don't freak out and think a dead person is asking for a light. Susan of North Carolina.
Susan.
Yay, Susan.
Susan.
Tell your daughter.
OG murderino.
That's right.
Nice. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice batch.
Yeah, guys. Good job.
Really good job.
Please send your stories to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com, or you can do it on the website, myfavoritemurder.com. You can do it in the fan cult. There's a whole fan cult forum where people share their stories with each other. Just fucking send us anything at this point, right?
Do it. We're into all of it. You know a good story when you hear one.
That's right.
Just let us know.
That's right. Can you do
and
better?
In the meantime, beat that. Beat that batch is what we always say. And in the meantime, stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?